broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben Crenshaw, Gary Williams. You are his favorite golfer. Yes. Unfortunately, Gary Williams will not be able to be on the show. He's in rural Georgia, and there's no connection. He can't make a call. You know, it must feel really strange if you're like someone who's normally always, you know, Gary Williams. He was with Golf Channel for 10 years, started Morning Drive, was going to be on the show today. He won't be able to make it. I suggested some tree therapy or a good old scream might even help. All right. We've got coming to you live from the Golf Club Studios on the lovely south shore of Oahu. It's under construction. That's all I can say about our South Shore. It's under construction. There's so many buildings going up. It looks like the 70s all over again. And they're all building in the tsunami zone, which I don't understand at all, except it'll protect a lot of people who are further inland. Welcome into the Golf Club House. We're having a wonderful day. Bob Herrig, senior writer, Sports Illustrated, is going to join us. Max Novina, executive director, PGA Tour, the Century. Yes, the Century is happening. I'm so looking forward to it. Ben Hongo, Director of Instruction, Hongo Golf, is going to give us a little lesson today. He's over at the Kapalua Golf Academy if you'd like to check it out. And Michael Patrick Shields, host of Michigan's Big Show with Michael Patrick Shields. I needed laughing therapy, so I asked Michael Patrick to join us again this weekend. He's my travel guru extraordinaire. And now he's an extra taking Hollywood by storm. Isn't that something? He's getting notices. You know, we need you for this and that and that and this, and we'll take care of your beard and whatever else needs to be. What a day. Okay, so that's what's going on with the show. Let me tell you what's going on with the weather. It's going to be sunny today, no kidding, with a high near 89, breezy. East northeasterlies, I like the north part, 10 to 16 miles per hour, gusts as high as 22. Every once in a while, those breezes just come out of nowhere. It's like, okay, are you going to stay with us? No, they go away, and then the humidity comes back. Tonight, mostly clear, low about 75, and the east northeasterly staying 8 to 13. And then Sunday, the high is going to be a little bit lower, only 88 degrees. And east northeasterly winds 8 to 10 miles an hour. Either way, these winds are perfect to get out and play a round of golf and challenge yourself occasionally. We've got at Volcano Golf Club an 832, a 910, and a 1048. Makalei has an 842 and a 916 and a 1010. And then at Poipu, 1140, 11:50, and 1 o'clock. Now, I have to explain, they're doing the nine-hole restoration. So you can either go play nine holes, or you can do nine holes, the nine that are open, twice. Again, 11:40, 11:50, 1 o'clock. Hawaii Kai has a 9:16 and a 10:50. Turtle Bay, an 8:42, a 9:36, and a 10:16. Royal Hawaiian Country Club has an 8:30, a 9:30, a 10:06. And Eva Beach Golf Course has a 9 o'clock and a 10:48. All of them are fabulous. Then on Maui, oh boy, we have a bunch of groups going out. And I have to just say this really quick. Poipu, may you all hit the sweet spot every time. Do 9 twice. That'll be so good. Wailea Gold Course, 9:50, 10:20, 10:40. And the Cold Brew. Gee, I wonder what they've got stashed in the cooler. The Cold Brew, they're going out. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. Emerald, 11:10, 11:20, 11:30. Maui, MGA, all going out, hitting the links. Blue Course, 10:50, 11 o'clock, and 11:10. Jack Miller's group is going out. And U.S. Kids, they're on the course today, so having a great time. And Maui Nui has an 8:40, a 9:52, and a 10:32 if you'd like to check it out. All right, we're coming back. Bob Herrig, senior writer, Sports Illustrated, author of Tiger Woods, The Lasting Legacy. Right after this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Brought to you by Stretch Lab Hawaii. One-on-one assisted stretching sessions just like the pros. Aloha Power Equipment, your landscape superstore. The Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. The gift that lasts forever. And the Sentry starts off the PGA Tour's 2025 season at Kapalua, January 2nd through the 5th.
Okay. You know, I was expecting more for that one. Excuse me for not being ready. All right, let's bring him in. Bob Herrig, senior writer, Sports Illustrated, Morning Read, and author Tiger Woods, The Lasting Legacy. Welcome into the clubhouse, Bob.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure talking with you. And there's just so much going on in the world right now in this game of golf. I hope you have a little bit of time, because what I'd like to talk to you about, Scottie Scheffler and Tiger Woods. Okay, so did Scottie Scheffler beat all of Tiger Woods' records? That's just one thought on my mind. I'd also like to talk to you about what was your thought on, I don't like this staggered start. I don't like that them given points before they even start. The whole thing just befuddles my mind. So let's start with that. You know, what is up with this format that they've chosen? Do you like it?
Yeah, I guess this is the sixth year that they did it, and I understand why. I always try to say it this way. I understand why they did it. I don't like it, though, but I understand why they did it, because you had a situation before where you could have two winners, and the winner of the FedEx Cup was being done via points that were, you know, very hard to follow. And so they really didn't want two winners, and the people putting up the money, FedEx, wanted the FedEx Cup champion to be lauded.
Okay.
And so they decided that the person who won should be the person who wins the FedEx Cup. And the only way to do that is to not have a tournament winner. If you recall, the last time they did it the old way, Tiger won the Tour Championship and Justin Rose won the FedEx Cup, and hardly anybody talked about Justin Rose winning the FedEx Cup. And here's, right, you know, FedEx putting up all this money.
Yeah.
And all we're talking about is Tiger, yeah, understandably, under those circumstances at the time.
Yeah.
So they, and by the way, this system had been announced before Tiger won. So it wasn't done in response to Tiger. But the year before, Justin Thomas in 2017 won the FedEx Cup, and Xander Schauffele won the Tour Championship. Xander was a rookie that year. And look, in the moment, Thomas was upset that he didn't win the tournament. And the next year he came back and he said, I'm still mad I didn't win the tournament. And yet he had won $10 million for winning the FedEx Cup. And so, like, this is why they made the change. Now, the thing they went to, which you noted, this staggered start where, you know, the leader gets, you know, is minus 10 and goes down to zero for, you know, the last five guys, goes to even par.
Yeah.
I mean, that was done to approximate the points that the points disparity that we used to have. It's really no different than that. But when you look at it that way, it just looks foolish. I mean, I was asking these guys questions last week in Atlanta. Do you ever give shots to your peers when you play matches at home? You know, like, you're not giving shots to another pro, but yet we have a tournament where Scottie Scheffler, the best player in the world, is getting 10 shots from the bottom five guys in the field. It's just, there's just other ways to do it, and I hope they figure out another way to do it.
Thank you. You know, thank you, because I thought maybe I was just the one person on the planet that did not understand this. But minus 10, I mean, that, you know, that's not right. You know what I mean? It's like but you know what was interesting? Scottie Scheffler said he was exhausted after this, right? He said in the interview period afterwards, he was talking, getting questions, and he goes, I'm not going to give you some very good answers because right now, you know, I can't even think. I'm exhausted. This was really hard. Did having the pressure of, you know, being given 10 strokes in his favor before it even hit the first off the tee? Did that add some pressure?
Yeah, listen, Scotty's exhausted because it's been a hectic year that has seen lots of, you know, a lot of big golf in a short period of time. And then you come to the end here, and they're playing three straight weeks, and obviously Memphis and Atlanta are always hot in August. They went to Colorado, played at altitude, hard to get used to, and it was hot there too. And not only that, a tough walk.
Yeah.
So, look, nobody's going to feel sorry for golfers making millions of dollars. They're not hitting each other out there, but you know, like football players. But by the same token, in their world, you know, it's a lot of travel. You got to practice. You're out in the heat. You know, you're hitting a lot of shots.
Yeah.
There's a mental grind to all of this.
Yeah.
And, you know, and after a while, it kind of – I think these guys get to the end of the tour championship, and they're just sort of – they've just sort of had it. You know, that's another aspect of this whole thing is it comes really quickly after the majors. And, you know, that was done to get it all done before football. And, you know, that's another thing that's debatable. You know, should they let it linger out a few more weeks so that there's a little bit more, you know, of a cushion after the British Open? And then you throw in the Olympics this year, which Scotty won. And let's be honest, that was emotional, and you know, it takes something out of you. He was in Europe for 3+ weeks, and then he comes home, and 2 weeks later, he's going to Memphis. I get it. I understand why there might be some fatigue at this time of year.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel sorry for them.
Right.
How much do they make? No, I'm just, I know, you're absolutely right. I absolutely understand, and I think there's better ways to do this. I don't know how we got here, because it seemed to work really good before, but I understand why there's changes, and I get that the sponsor, you know, wants to have all the glory, because as you said, putting up a whole lot of money, they want to be the focus. FedEx Cup, hey. You know, don't be talking about Tiger Woods. He's just a tour champion. Yeah. Speaking of Tiger Woods, I'm talking with Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for Sports Illustrated, member of the Golf Writers Association of America. And he's written Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods. And before that, it was Tiger and Phil, golf's most fascinating rivalry, about the squabbles, their duels, and they're softening, actually, toward each other. I wonder if that still exists with LIV now and the PGA Tour issues, you know. But the interesting part about what's going on with the tour and LIV, we're going to have actually a match now. Something was announced that, or it was discovered by a writer that it's going to be a match between Rory McIlroy and LIV golfers, two. So it's two on each side, and I think it's Brooks Koepka and Scottie Scheffler are not going to play together, of course. They're on the opposing teams. But isn't it two from each, and it's going to be on television? Have you heard about this? Of course you have.
Yeah, absolutely. Rory confirmed it.
Okay.
It's not been made official by anybody who would be in charge of the dates or the location or the TV network, but Rory confirmed it. And, yeah, it would be Rory and Scheffler against Brooks and Bryson.
There.
And so, yeah, PGA Tour versus LIV. And, you know, it's a one-day exhibition. These guys are going to get paid. It's supposed to be in Las Vegas. There's a couple of different ways to look at it. I don't think the competition itself in the end is going to be any more meaningful than just bragging rights. I wrote the other day that I think the zealots on both sides will try to make it more than that. It doesn't mean anything in that regard. But what I do think it means is that there's a little frustration as to what's going on in the greater game with the negotiations and trying to bring things back together, because Rory is the one who put this out there. It appears that the tour has not buttoned everything up, and normally they would be the ones announcing it. The tour has to sign off. For Scotty and Roy to take part in any sort of event on TV, you know, the tour has to approve and probably get paid. And so the fact that Roy got out in front of this suggests, you know, he knows it would look bad for them to shut it down now.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's a little bit of a sending of a message. Like, hey, you know, if you're not going to bring the best players back together, well, we're going to at least do this once. You know, it doesn't mean anything in the overall scheme of things, but it's just sort of, I think it's a bit of a message, you know. And, you know, Rory's been one, he was very critical of Liv, and now he's willing to do this, which, let's be honest, by doing this, you're giving two of the prominent Liv players exposure.
Yeah.
You know, you're willing to do this with them, which helps them.
Yeah.
You know, and so I can't speak to whether or not Liv was involved in this, but I'm pretty certain that the tour wasn't. And you know, so they come out of this maybe, you know, with a little bit of egg on their face. So we'll see if it means anything. Obviously, the negotiations and getting to a deal is a complicated matter. And, you know, my sense is there's just a lot of – they're far apart on some of the – details that would need to happen for there to be peace.
They're far apart on everything. I was reading the article in Sports Illustrated that one of your correspondents wrote about. I mean, it's just crazy. The tour is not really doing much of anything. I just don't understand how people with the smarts that they have can't figure out how to deal with each other. Obviously, Liv's not going away. So they're going to, and you know, and I'm really sad that they're getting money from where they're getting money. But it's here, and that's what we're going to have to deal with. So, you know, when can something come together? Can you give us some insight on that?
You know, I wish I could. I mean, there was an originally a deadline of December 31st, and here we are 9 months later, and, you know, it still hasn't happened, and there's a lot of conjecture. I think, you know, one thing I'll say in the tour's defense is that, you know, if you're going to bring the Liv guys back and let them play in PGA Tour events, you know, there's a lot of hard feelings about that.
Yeah.
You know, there was, you know, originally they sued, you know, they cost the tour a lot of money in legal fees.
Oh,
and there's a segment of players. It's like, we don't want them to just waltz right back out here and take spots from our guys. I get that. Now, of course, it's going to require them to compromise. So what's the number? Like, are Bryson and Brooks going to be able to play in the Memorial and Arnold Palmer in the Players Championship?
Wow.
I mean, I would think that would not go over very well with everybody.
Yeah.
But maybe they should be allowed to play in all two each, you know, signature events, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. But, all right. So do they want to have Liv under the PGA Tour umbrella like the DP World? Is that one thought?
It's a thought, but I don't know if that's going to happen. I mean, it could. Or they could agree to operate separately, but still, you know, coexist, have some sort of alliance. You know, my original thought was they would bring Liv under the tour banner, because if Liv can find a way to be profitable, the PGA Tour now needs to be profitable.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Liv has a better chance of being profitable if you have the PGA Tour's, you know, blessing, so to speak. In other words, if you're working together as opposed to being on opposite sides, you can help them get a TV deal. You might help them get sponsors. You might facilitate the players going back and forth between them for whatever they're allowed to. But if you're going to be separate, it's going to be hard for, you know, I think it's going to be hard for Liv to make money, you know, at this current rate. They don't have a lucrative TV deal. They don't have massive sponsorship. And, you know, maybe the tour is sitting here wanting to just wait them out. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a lot, like I said, there's a lot of conjecture as to as to the various motives that are behind, you know, why this is taking so long.
Yeah, and so there's the PGA Tours, there's LIV, and they're in the upper echelon of the people who are in charge of those two entities. And then there's the players, and they're not helping either, because there was really something in the article about the group that was led by Patrick Cantlay, Tiger Woods, and Jordan Spieth wanting to be more in control. And let's see, how is this written? They are driven in part, though certainly not exclusively, by anger. They were blindsided by the tour's framework agreement with PIF. Wherever the tour goes from here, they want control. They want to control the terms. They want those terms to be better for them than for the guys who ditched the tour for LIV. So last fall, after calling Cantlay and saying that they had very different visions for the golf landscape, McIlroy resigned from his seat, of course. And then this spring, McIlroy wants to come back. So all of this is like, it's crazy. And Tiger's in there, too. And it's like a bunch of children who really can't get it all together, and no one's working as an interloper, interpreter. Something's got to give, and this is nuts. It just looks bad. They keep making a whole lot of money, and we keep watching going, you know, I don't know that this is what we were watching before, and it's all about the money now, and I don't like it. So
I think fans are tired of the money talk.
Yes.
You know, when the NFL kicked off the other night, nobody was talking about how much Patrick Mahomes makes, even though he makes a lot of money.
Yes.
You know, it's not the discussion point. It's he's playing football, and we care to either see him win or lose. In golf, so much of the discussion has been about the money, and when the tour announced its SSG deal, what did they announce first? Oh, all the equity the players are going to get. Like, fans don't care about that. They just want, are they going to play together or not? You know, and the longer this drags out, you know, the TV ratings haven't been as good. And, you know, there's a malaise that's hurting. And, you know, I don't know what the answer is. It's certainly easy for me to say they need to figure it out. But, you know, there's a lot of factors.
Yeah.
So the tour is also looking for investment from the PIF.
Oh.
And so if they were to get that, you know, well, how would that be spent? What would it be spent on?
Oh, my goodness.
The PIF wants, you know, they have their motives, too. So it's a complicated deal. And you know, this latest stuff is, I just think, Rory kind of, you know, sending a little bit of a message.
Yeah, it's a mess. That's all there is to it. It's a mess. So I started off with this conversation. I appreciate how long you've been with me. Did Scottie Scheffler beat all of Tiger Woods' records?
No. I mean, he's the first player since Tiger to win seven times in a year.
Okay.
And that the last time that happened was 2007. And his scoring average is in the neighborhood of some of the best that Tiger had. You know, there's that. I mean, it's statistically, you know, Scottie is right there with some of the best that Tiger did.
Awesome.
You know, but Tiger also had, you know, he also had another 7-win year. He had an 8-win year.
Oh, yes.
You know, I believe he had 10 years where he won at least 5 times. You know, so as great as this is, you know, Scheffler's won 13 times total. You know, like, look, nobody's going to win 80 like Tiger did, or 81 now, it's 82.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to get there, and probably nobody will get to Phil's 45.
Okay.
But, you know, Justin Thomas has won 15 times, and we thought for sure he was going to win 25 or 30. Well, he's been stuck on 15 for 2 years. Jordan Spieth has won 13. The same number Scottie's won. We thought he'd win 20 or 25. If you ever getting to 20 or 25 in this era is kind of the new 50.
Okay.
It's really hard to do. So, you know, I sort of want to, like, wait and see a little bit. It's been a historic run here, but is he going to keep this going? And, look, even if he doesn't, I wouldn't be surprised. It's hard. You know, like if he wins two or three times next year, are we going to consider it a failure? I hope not.
Oh, no.
You know, because it's hard, you know.
Yeah.
So my guess is that Scotty'd like to win a few more majors, you know, and quality is going to supersede quantity.
And hopefully they'll figure everything out and turn it back into, we don't hear about the back room, we only hear about the front room, and we can put that
right.
money, whatever they're paying them, I don't want to know about it because I don't come close to their income level.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Oh, my goodness. And we're all looking forward to the President's Cup, and I thank you so much, Bob Herrig, senior golf writer, Sports Illustrated, and, of course, member of the Golf Writers Association of America. His books are Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods. And with those numbers, you can see, get the book. It's great. Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You too. Aloha. We're coming back with Max Novina because the century is happening in just a couple of months, it seems. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
You know, the Aloha Power equipment guys, they are in your corner because now it's Aloha Power's Honda generator sale. We have specials in every size and you can save $200 on the Honda EU2200 and a free extended warranty worth $250. That's a savings of $450. Keep your lights on. Your equipment running on the job while others are in the dark, you know, and in today's world, you just never know. You want them? Well, we've got them today. And we ship off island. Aloha Power Equipment, Evile, next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu. Weed it, whack it, mow it, done. Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Ah, we've got the President's Cup coming. We've got the Solheim Cup coming. And we have the Century coming. Max Novina, Executive Director, PGA Tour. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Danielle, aloha. Good to be with you.
Oh, it's good to be with you. Thanks for being so patient. So your introduction to the golf industry was like at the U.S. Women's Open. You have a lot of history.
Indeed. Well, I mean, first off, I've grown up playing the game or around the game. I was a caddy way back in the day. So.
Wow.
Absolutely love the game, and now a career in sports spanning more than 25 years.
Wow.
And you're exactly right. My first golf tournament was the U.S. Women's Open at Cherry Hills in 2005.
Wow. It's so exciting that when you love something the way you love golf and that you get to be a part of it your entire career, your entire life. That's something people, you know, aspire to and hope for. Congratulations. You do such a terrific job. And now we have the century happening, and it's coming at such an important time with everything that's happened on Maui. Century has brought in so much money. What is it, $1 million in direct relief? Do I have that number right?
Yeah, we're so, you know, thankful. We have so many generous supporters. Of course, starting with Century Insurance, our title sponsor, and since August 8th, they've given away more than $2 million to the local community. Everything from Maui United Way to the Boys and Girls Club to the Food Bank of Maui. Most recently, they gave $150,000 to the Puu Kukui Watershed, which is a very, very important piece of land that's been dedicated to conservation. And the funds that they provided were to honor the people that lost lives in the Lahaina fires, the two people that are still missing, and the more than 8,000 people in our community that have been impacted. In addition, the PGA Tour, our tournament, and our players have also given, and it truly is not just our responsibility, but our privilege to give back.
That's wonderful. And it's, chicken skin time. It's like, that's knowing that the Century tournament is happening and that Century Insurance steps up. You know, not only are they putting on a fabulous tournament, they're behind the community. They're a part of the community. They're like a neighbor that's coming out to help. They see something that needs, and they really work hard to fulfill that need. And that's the beauty of having relationships and connections and partners that the Century's become, or rather Century Insurance has become. I keep saying the Century, that's the name of the tournament. Now, it's coming up, and we have lots. We need volunteers, tickets, and we need to find out. So the 2024 FedEx Cup season's in the books. And I was talking with Bob Herrig about the season. You know, then we've got the President's Cup coming up, and then the Century will be happening here on Maui. Kapalua, of course, plantation course, awesome experience, and you'll want to go there. Tell us the field. Tell us about the field.
Yeah, well, I think just, you know, in general, with everything that's happened in the game of golf, it really has been an incredible season. And it all started here on Maui with the Century. Chris Kirk won the event. But if you look at the various storylines, just the dominance of Scottie Scheffler, seven wins, including the Tour Championship, plus a gold medal at the Olympics. It was so amazing to see three PGA Tour players meddling. In addition to Scheffler, Hideki from Japan, and Fleetwood from England. Xander Schauffele, who absolutely loves Maui and has done so much for this community, winning two majors. And so the table has been set. We're inside of 4 months, 117 days and counting. And to your point, our field is one of the best in the entire game. So we currently have 58 players qualified for the Century, 22 unique winners, and 36 through the top 50 FedEx Cup points list. Now with the FedEx Cup fall starting next week in Napa, we have the opportunity to add 8 more players to the field. So currently sitting at 58, could have as many as 66, which would be a record, the biggest field that we've ever had here at the Plantation Course at Kapalua.
All right. So it's for those who don't follow along quite, you know, on a regular basis, how do you qualify to get in? What are there are obviously different ways.
Yeah. So many people remember the event as the Tournament of Champions, and that's when the qualification criteria was limited to just winners from the previous season. now being the kickoff event of the PGA Tour and also being the first of eight signature events, we actually expanded the qualification to include not just winners, but anybody who qualifies for the top 50. And that's what's allowed an additional. Because anytime you have a guy like Scheffler, not unlike, you know, when Tiger would win five, six, or seven times during the season. So with Scheffler winning seven times,
right?
That, you know, technically takes up a bunch of spots.
Yes.
And so with the top 50, we've had the opportunity to add 36 additional players whose body of work over the course of the season, while they may not have won, the body of work was so good, they deserve to be in our field.
Right on. And is there a third way to get in? I think because you still have some openings, possibly.
Yeah, so the third way is the FedEx Cup Ball, which starts next week in Napa, and there are eight events between now and Thanksgiving, and that's the third way that players can qualify for the Century by winning one of the remaining eight FedEx Cup Ball events.
Awesome. That's really good that you pointed that out, because a lot of folks think, well, you know, golf's over. No, the season never ends in golf. We're always playing. We're always out. We're always playing, and we're always watching the great players. And as you pointed out earlier, I get a little upset hearing about all the money they make, only because money to me shouldn't be the only thing you think about. It's the game. It's the honor. It's the calling of penalty on yourself, as we saw recently. No one saw that, and the honor that it takes for you to do that. You know, you could have just said, "Oh, I did something," but no. This man stood up and said, "I made a mistake, and I know I'm going to lose two strokes on this one, but it's what I need to do." That's the kind of game this is, and it's special. So I'm really excited that we still have a lot of tournaments to go, and then the Century. So can we start getting, we need to make reservations, the fan amenities, the experiences, the tickets. Can you run us through that?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, just a quick comment about money that is around the game. And to your point, we don't think much about the money. And, you know, certainly here at the Century, we have the benefit of being a signature event and a massive purse that has more than doubled over the last 2 years. Anybody playing in the Century, the winner receives 700 FedEx Cup points as compared to a regular tour event that receives 500. That said, we believe, and our players have demonstrated this, they come play on Maui because they love the experience, the island, the people, the culture. They really welcome and embrace our players. And for us, that's what's most important. We right. want our players to start the year on Maui because there's no better place to not only celebrate the new year, but kick off the new season. And so just a massive mahalo to Maui and this community over the last quarter century for welcoming and embracing the PGA Tour and all of our players.
It's kind of an exhale moment, you know, when you get off the plane and you, oh, gosh, this feels
yeah.
so good.
Well, I say this all the time. When you think about all of us as individuals, in our personal lives, in our careers, that week, we're typically spending time with those that are closest to us. We're feeling a lot of appreciation and gratitude for the year that we've just had, but we're also starting to write down goals for the year ahead. And how do we set the tone to ensure that, you know, this is the best year that we ever have? And so I know our players are doing that, and that thematic, I think, is something that we really want to pull through everything that we do around our tournament. And whether it be our partners, our fans, our volunteers, it truly should be one of the best and most fun weeks of the year.
Right on. And volunteers and fan amenities and experiences and tickets and charity. Let's start with tickets. Can we get them now?
Yeah. So we are, as of the BMW Championship, we are on sale with tickets. We have several different options. We have a gallery pass ticket. We have an amazing Kama'aina option. It literally is one of the best values, not just in sports, but around the islands. A ticket, a gallery pass ticket, is $150. For Kama'aina, you receive the exact same experience, and we priced that at $50.
Wow.
So literally a 65% discount or value as compared to people that will be attending the event who are visiting from the mainland. We also, as you know, but always important to remind folks, every ticketed adult can bring two kids in for free, ages 15 and under. And, we're just very, very proud that a family can come out and enjoy, especially these days with the cost of professional sports. Going to stadiums and to arenas, here with the PGA Tour and the Century and the game of golf, you can still come out and have just an incredible day, an incredible experience, and have it present tremendous value and be very, very affordable.
Yeah, it's rare. We thank you very much for making it possible.
Yeah, indeed. I'd also be, remiss if I didn't at least mention the volunteer program, which, here again, I think it's one of the best ways to get involved with the tournament, one of the best ways to experience the tournament. There's no other sport where you can volunteer and you're literally inside of the ropes experiencing the golf tournament. Here again, just a massive mahalo to all of our volunteers. Many of them come from the islands. Some come from the mainland. But the PGA Tour would not be able to do what we do, not only for our players, for our fans, but most importantly for our communities, without our volunteers.
Yeah. And are there openings still? Could somebody still become a volunteer? I know everybody kind of does it year after year.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so great. Middle of July, we launch our volunteer program, and we always see so many familiar faces that come back and support our event. Obviously, support multiple PGA Tour events around the country, around the schedule.
Wow.
That said, we do still have a limited number of spots, and like I said, it is just one of the best ways to experience the golf tournament.
How do you become a volunteer? Is there a phone number to call?
Easiest way is just to go to thecentury.com and click on volunteers. And we have a myriad of committees. So depending on what you want to or like to do, if you love the game and want to walk inside of the ropes, or if you prefer working with fans and patrons, so there are a myriad of opportunities and something for everyone.
Wonderful. So that's thecentury.com. Easy. Just thinking about when you talk about bringing children in, are there places where a family could, let's say the child is tired, do you have places where they can go and get away from things for a family?
Absolutely. We've we've worked really hard to reimagine the entire fan experience, everything from where you park to the shuttles to the event, where you enter, the food and beverage, the water stations, the shade, and then as you've seen firsthand, Danielle, and hopefully many of your listeners have experienced, it is literally one of the most intimate, not just golf tournaments, but sporting events.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a 10-year-old son, and I love to share with other parents that every single player stops for every single kid, sign every single autograph, and take every single selfie. And it truly is unlike anything else on the mainland and anything else in professional sports.
It is so cool. The way you just said that, it really makes me feel like I can't wait to be there and be a part of the Century experience. Thank you very much. How much is raised for charity? What charities, one of the talking points that we have here is charity. Can you expand on that, please?
Yeah, I mean, for the PGA Tour and for the Century here on Maui, the why is always very, very important. And, certainly, first and foremost, we want people to come out to the golf tournament and have a fantastic entertainment experience, right? Watch the best players in the world play in one of the most beautiful places in the world. That said, the underpinning of our business model is to give away all of the proceeds and to ensure that those funds stay here in the local community and help the most pressing of needs and organizations. And so we've been so fortunate this year. We were able to donate a record amount, more than $700,000. That's in addition to the $2 million plus that Century Insurance has given. And then on top of that, our players and their foundations have also been very, very generous. And beyond the money, it's also just about using the platform to bring continued awareness, continued fundraising, certainly economic impact and community benefit. But fans from not just the islands or the country, but literally around the world have given whatever they're comfortable giving. And we're very, very proud of that fact.
Awesome. And thank you. Thank you for all the time that you folks put into it and the thoughts always being with us, because even if you're, far away in Wisconsin, you're still thinking about your second home, the home away from home, however you are, your neighbors right over here, even though we may be far apart, you're still like our neighbors. And we thank you very, very much for your thoughts and your steadfastness and being with us. And Max Novina, Executive Director, PGA Tour, The Century, thank you for being inside the clubhouse today.
Thank you, Danielle. Aloha.
Aloha.
Have a great weekend, all.
You too. Aloha. We're going to come back. Ben Hongo, PGA, Director of Instruction, Hongo Golf, teaching professional out at the Kapalua Golf Academy. Speaking of Kapalua, we're going to get a lesson with Ben after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Eva side. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mailed to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
How do the pros keep their bodies fit? With professional stretching routines from Stretch Lab Hawaii. Our one-on-one assisted stretching sessions are designed to improve your flexibility and swing. Our highly experienced flexologists tailor each session to your needs so you can move better, feel better, and play better. Visit our studios at Kahala Mall, Kailua, and Ward Center. Stretch Lab. Live long, golf strong. Mention the golf club for half off your 50-minute stretch and mobility assessment at Stretch Lab Hawaii.
And right now, okay, I mean, you've heard me talk about Stretch Lab Hawaii. It is doctor recommended. I mean, anyone who's into physical therapy knows how important stretching is. And sometimes, you know, we don't know how to stretch. I'm serious. It's golfer approved. Oh, you know, so many people that are, golfers love Stretch Lab. And I felt that it improved my flexibility. So I know it's going to help you because, you know, my back is bad. So now's your chance to experience a 50-minute one-on-one complimentary stretch at Stretch Lab Hawaii. All you have to be is the third caller. And the number is easy, 808-545-1111. And now, it's not going to impact your ability. If you win this, you can also win a round of golf that we're giving away. But we're not giving one away today. We're giving away Stretch Lab. So it's a 50-minute flex stretch, either Kahala Mall, Kailua, or Ward Center. The number to call is 808-545-1111. You deserve a stretch. From Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club and Stretch Lab Hawaii.
Got my new book, 3 Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Ben Hongo, PGA Director of Instruction, Hongo Golf. He's a teaching professional out at the Kapalua Golf Academy. And he's a runner. He's a foodie. He's a sushi cuisine artist. He runs in the family. He's a lover of the game of golf. He's a member of the Aloha Section PGA since 1989, when he first accepted the assistant golf professional position at Kapalua Golf. He's got teaching tools that include video analysis, TrackMan, UberSense. Now, UberSense, I got to find out about UberSense. He's also a club fitter with Callaway, Ping, TaylorMade, and Titleist certifications. He's fitness TPI certified. So, you know, welcome into the clubhouse. Ben Hongo, do you have any other credentials I didn't mention?
No, I think that's a lot.
I know, I'm impressed, okay? The fact that you're into sushi cuisine, you know, do you make it yourself sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, just simple stuff, you know, little hand rolls and stuff at home.
Yeah, but still yet, that's, you know, simple stuff is sometimes the best stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of tough because we're empty nesters now, so there's only two of us.
And, oh.
You know, it's hard to make it, you know, at a small quantity.
You know, I just, you know, that's what dogs are for.
And I got two of them, so.
There you go. They'll like the fish, won't they?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll love it.
All right. So, Ben, I didn't ask you, you know, what we're going to talk about in teaching. Like, what aspect of the game of golf do you want to focus on today?
You know, let's just go to what everybody wants. So,
oh, please.
You know, maybe the full swing, you know, particularly maybe like an iron play.
Before we do that, before we do full swing and iron play, okay?
Yeah.
Scottie Scheffler, you know, is the man right now. And yet he's got like his putting is like at in the 64. He's way down. He's way down the list. He doesn't come in very high on that. What is it about? Have you watched his putting or what is it about? Some people just have it down and some people just don't. And it's so frustrating when you just don't.
I think when I look at Scotty, you know, the stats don't always tell the whole story. And I know strokes gained, you know, the way we do stats today is a little different than just counting strokes and whatnot.
Okay.
But when you're such a great ball striker and you start really looking at percentages of putts made, for example, a two foot putt on the PGA Tour is like 99%, higher than 99%. They don't miss that putt. 3 feet, it's like 94%. But when they get out to 5 feet or 6 feet, it comes all the way down to something like 65%.
So they're human.
And they're yeah. So PGA Tour's average, I mean, where they make 50-50 is just about 8 feet.
Okay.
A little longer than 8 feet. So anyway, my point is, when you take a guy like Scheffler, in my opinion, who is so far above and ahead of the field when it comes to ball striking, his iron play, his wedge play, I mean, it's just phenomenal how close he hits it all the time. I just think it just kind of, you know, when you have 8 feet all day long, the percentage is against you that you're going to make every single one of them. So it just seems like he misses a lot more putts, but he's got a lot more birdie putts than everybody else.
Got it.
So that's kind of how I see it. I don't think he's a bad putter, because if he was, I don't think he'd be number one in the world.
Yeah.
I just think that there are other players out there. You know, example, like for me, I putt good because it's out of necessity, and also I don't hit a lot of greens, so I chip on. So my first putt is closer. Although I'm not putting for a birdie, I'm putting for a par. So a lot of people go, oh, you're a good putter. But I'm really a bad ball striker.
you just got to a really important lesson, and you went through it so fast. You know, the whole thing is you learned that what you need to do is tell us that again, how you get to get that ball to drop. What's your process?
When it comes to putting,
yeah, you're
okay.
You're hitting it. What your plan is, because you're a bad ball striker. I think it's so funny to hear you, Ben Ho, you know, Hongo. You're not. So tell us how you do it.
Well, I better be a good chipper, right?
Okay. Or, see,
yeah, I better. So I gotta like, you know, if you take a person who's trying to be, you know, trying to shoot in the low 70s. And they're hitting, let's just say, you know, 6 to 8 greens, which means that they have to get up and down, you know, 10 to 12 times per round. You better be a pretty good chipper, one. Two, you better not, you know, and this is something I talk to my my competitive kids, and, you know, I have 3 rules competitively. I go, no sixes on the card, which basically is take care of your par fives. No 3 putts. And then lastly, no penalty shots. And I go, hey, if you're half decent at golf and you stay away from those 3 things, you're probably going to play half decent.
Wow.
So I got to keep, you know, for a person like me, I got to keep the ball in play. And I better not ever 3 putt because I'm just wasting shots. And then and I better be a pretty good chipper. So you have to kind of look at your golf game and say, okay, where are you good? And because a lot of people will work on their strengths and not on their weaknesses.
So you're talking about chipping onto the green so you get your ball
yep.
in place so that you can use that club to get onto the green close to the hole and then putt and sink it.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. I mean, you got to get the ball in the hole somehow, right?
Right.
So you have to kind of look at your whole game and go, okay, where is my? So, some of the stats work I do with my, you know, my competitive players is really like, it's really more about percentages of how close they are from where they started out. For example, for scratch golfers, I always use a 10% rule. So if you're 100 yards out, you should be no further away than 10 yards away.
All right.
From the hole.
Okay.
So, you know, or 30 feet. And, you know, it's pretty doable if you're a scratch golfer.
Yeah.
you know, and if you're 150 yards away, you know, 45 feet away from the hole. And, you know, if you got somebody that's, you know, very good at golf, you know, a scratch golfer, they're probably better off being, you know, 20 feet away in a bunker opposed to 60 feet away on the putting green.
Got it. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, if you're good, you can get out of that bunker and be close to the hole and you're putting it in. And it's awesome.
Yeah. Assuming that they have a pretty good lie and everything. So that's also another thing is, you know, lie dependent, you know.
Yeah.
So hitting the golf ball in a fairway, I think, is – I think I saw like a stat last week on one of the holes where if you missed – if they missed at the tour championship, if they missed the fairway, the hole played like half a shot more than a par. It was like 4.5. And then if you hit the fairway, it was playing under par. So there's so much to this. It's, you know, last year when I was at the Century, and you know this, that I'm in charge of the golf carts up there at the, you know, at the golf course.
You're one of the volunteers.
Yeah, I'm one of the volunteers, and I was at the clubhouse on my golf cart, and this one guy who looked like a golf coach needed a ride to the 15th hole. So I said, hey, I'm not doing anything. I can give you a ride up there. So he hops on, and we go up there, and I asked him, hey, what do you do out here? And he goes, I'm a coach, and I go, swing coach? He goes, no. Short game coach? He goes, no. I do all the stats. That works. So he's like the money ball guy in golf.
Wow. Wait a second.
He takes all the matrix that's provided in the shot links.
Okay.
And then turns it into, I guess, English.
Okay.
So players can understand and say, hey, this was a good decision or this was a bad decision.
Wow.
So that was interesting. I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah. What kind of a brain does he have?
Oh, I'm sure he's so smart.
So, all right. So, Ben Hongo, if I come to you and ask you to assess my game, where are my strengths and where are my weaknesses? Maybe I know some of them, you know, but I want to hear it from a professional. Can you help with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit harder on the driving range, but... you know, I'll start asking questions about, you know, how often you play, how long you've been playing, you know, so on and so on. You know, scoring averages, you know, strength, weaknesses. And usually what I'll do is I'll just kind of assess them, starting with the sand wedge. I'll have them hit like a little 20, 30-yard shot. You know, hit maybe 5 to 10, then kind of move up and full wedges, 7-iron, long iron, hybrid, and you know, end up with a driver, and you know, I'll get a kind of a picture of what's going on out there on the golf course probably within the first 10 minutes
cool
or so.
Yeah.
And you know, and we talked about this a few months ago. I call it my 3.5 absolutes. And you know, number one, when I look at somebody hit a golf ball, chipping, bunker play, putting, whatever, I always ask myself, does the player in front of me have control of the bottom of the swing or the low point of the golf swing? And if they don't, usually that's the guy that's, you know, high handicappers because they're having a hard time contacting, you know, with the golf ball. Then the second part of it, do they have control of the club face? If they don't, you know, they can hit the golf ball, but they don't have control of the club face. Then they're probably kind of a mid handicappers, and then the path or the swing plane, and that's kind of where, you know, I work with a lot of my, you know, better players and whatnot. So, and the 0.5 people always ask me is speed.
Speed.
It's hard to be a scratch golfer if you only hit 220 off the tee.
So how do you get better with your swing speed. How do you improve swing speed?
I think there are a lot of things. You know, you can get yourself in the gym. Right before we got on this call, we were doing a commercial on the stretching thing. You know, mobility, flexibility,
yeah,
strength, explosiveness, all those things kind of help. There are things on the market today. Like I use a product called Super Speed, which is a three club. There's three club things, sticks, basically different weights, and there's what they call protocols or drills that you do to increase your speed. But you know, you have to make sure that you have the structure to be able to handle those speeds. So that's why, you know, a lot of my junior golfers are in the gym working out and whatnot. And it's not just about bulking up and, you know, having a beach body type of deal. It's really more functionality. So, you know, today's in the fitness world, there are more programs, more functionality programs rather than just pure strength and whatnot. So I think, you know, like mobility is a big, big thing, and stability is a big, big thing. So when you're working out, you know, it's not just sitting on a bench and doing bench presses. you know, it's not that kind of workout completely. So, yeah, but it's hard, right? You know, you get to I know, like, I'm 57 now, and I know when I turn 50, you know, I asked myself, I'm like, you know, I wonder why PGA Tour put 50 as the threshold for the Champions Tour.
Uh-huh.
I didn't feel that much different. But boy, when I got to like 53, 54, it was like a different world. All of a sudden, my swing speed came down. And it's been a check on my ego, really, because all of a sudden now, you used to hit, you know, 8 irons, 9 irons from 150. Now I'm hitting like a 7 iron.
Oh dear.
And yeah, so I'm trying to get my speed back a little bit, but older you get, you know, it's a little bit harder.
That's why you got to do it consistently, right? You just got to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's really
so
important.
Some of the people who are kind of in their 40s and, you know, they're bobbing the golf ball. I mean, you know, for some of them, it might last forever, but for some of them, it may not. So, if you're working out, you got to make sure that, or if you're not working out, you got to make sure you get on some type of a program. So, you know, you can be a scratch golfer.
Yeah.
Again, it's hard to be a scratch golfer when you're hitting the ball 220 off the tee.
Yeah. And you want to keep it. You want to keep that in shape. I'm not talking about any shape. You know, as you said earlier, we're not trying to get a beach body. Just keeping the body in the right kind of shape that you need it to be in so you can get out on the course and you can get that swing speed up. Do you do lessons on the course? Do you do teaching lessons on the course?
Yeah, at times I do. You know, if we have the time and the, you know, availability and stuff like that. A lot of my kids, I take them on the golf course because, you know, there's, you know, it's what I call kind of, you know, in golf, here's another theory of mine. I call it the three T's, and the T's stand for technique, tasks, and totals, which is a score. And a lot of people think that if you take a golf lesson and improve on your technique, it's directly going to impact your totals, but not necessarily. You know, again, earlier I kind of mentioned like lies and stuff like that. So if you don't know how to deal with bad lies in the rough or what, you know, if you're 150 yards out from the rough, let's say first cut of rough, right in the middle of the fairway, and then out of the fairway bunker, those three scenarios in the same yardage, you just can't go about it the same. You know, out of the bunker, you're going to be limited on your options and your capabilities. Out of the rough, you're still going to be somewhat limited, probably going to be better off than being a bunker. And then if you're in the middle of the fairway, you have a little bit more options or your mistakes tend to be a little bit better. So you have to kind of understand that and know kind of the percentages, you know, for, you know, so let's say you're playing a green that's kind of surrounded by water and you're in a fairway bunker from 150 yards out, maybe it's a layup time for a lot of people. You know, take a pitching wedge and just chip it out.
Yeah.
And then, you know, instead of just going for it and hitting the ball into the water, that just costs you a shot and a half, basically. So I think, you know, when we get on the golf course, it's usually, you know, it's not about the golf swing. It's really about decision making and looking at tasks that you can do. And when I take them on the golf course, it's not like we're playing golf. We're actually like I'm playing kind of like a scramble with them. And it's kind of a creative scramble, meaning that I'll place the golf ball behind a tree or in a fairway bunker or downhill lie or something that's not ordinary, you know. It's not a perfect world, you know. We're not playing golf in a simulator where every shot is flat and there's no wind and,
right.
you know, everything's in the fairway. So, you know, especially here in Hawaii because we have a lot of winds, so we have a lot of hills, and whatnot. So, you know, there's obstacles out there, and you have to know how to deal with them, and you also have to know what your capabilities are.
Ben Hongo, PGA, Director of Instruction, Hongo Golf, and you can find him at hongogolf.com. It's HONGOGOLF.com. HongoGolf.com. And a teaching professional out of the Kapalua Golf Academy. Thank you so much for the lessons.
Thank you. Thank you. I always enjoy talking with you, and hopefully we'll do this soon again.
Oh, yeah, we will. Thank you, Ben.
Okay.
Aloha.
Bye.
We're going to come back. Michael Patrick Shields is in the clubhouse after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghaus, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
It is Aloha Powers Honda Generator Sale. And we have specials in every size. Save $200 on a Honda U2200. And then there's the free extended warranty. That's worth $250. So you put that together, that's a total savings of $450. That's the Honda EU2200. And you can keep your lights on and your equipment running on the job, you know, while others are unfortunately in the dark. You want them, we've got them, and we ship off island. Aloha Power Equipment, Iwile, next to the Costco gas station, and in Waipahu on Farrington Highway. If you're going Eva-bound direction, you want to be in the left lane, because when you get to Waipahu Street, you can make a left, and right there you'll see the sign. It's awesome, okay? And if you're, of course, going Coco headbound, you're going to make a right turn. It's really easy at Waipahu Street. That's weed it, whack it, mow it, and done with the equipment you need from Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips.
If you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing, schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and three-time PGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning, call Claude at 808-856-9458 or by email, claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's 808-856-9458. And have more fun playing golf.
The Golf Club tip number 81. Don't throw your bag in the pond. You'll want your car keys and wallet when driving home.
Now back to the Golf Club with Danielle Tucker.
Michael Patrick Shields, radio talk show host, author, travel writer. He's host of Michigan's Big Show with Michael Patrick Shields, award-winning syndicated talk show. He's my travel guru extraordinaire. His home base is Beverly Hills, where just recently he was lunching with Jim Nance. Welcome into the clubhouse, Michael Patrick.
How are things in Honolulu and throughout the island this morning?
Well, it's hot. You know, it'll only be 88 to get, and it's the humidity. It's humid, you know. So, you know, but otherwise, the wind is blowing, so it kind of gives us a little respite, up to 22 miles an hour. Are you getting a sense of this? And the sun is shining, and everything is beautiful. And if you want to go swimming, it's a gorgeous day.
Well, it's extremely hot here in Los Angeles as well after a very mild summer. Las Vegas is near 120, and Palm Springs, if you're playing golf there today, it's like 110, 115 degrees. And even here in Beverly Hills, it's over 80 every day, which is very unusual. The Valley usually gets those types of temperatures. So this weekend when the San Diego Chargers play and Jim Nance will be there to call the actions for CBS, it'll be hot in that stadium, SoFi.
Wow. Wow. The temperatures are still as hot. Wow. You know, they're not talking about it in the news broadcasts as much as they were when it was like, 120. But I guess the heat just is staying with us, and so it is what it is. But how is Jim Nance?
Oh, he looked great. He walked over from the hotel at which he stays, which is a very famous one in Beverly Hills. Uh-huh. And we met at Nate and Al's, where we meet for breakfast when he's in town. And it's special to him and a fun place because he once had breakfast there with Larry King, if you remember that talk show host. And he was there every day, Larry King. He would walk from his house on Cannon Street down to 8 o'clock there. They open at 8 at Nate and Al's. And he would get the same thing, Larry King, every day. It's a bagel and what have you. But anyway, so Jim likes to go there, and so we met there. And by the time he walked from the hotel to the Nate and Al's, he was soaked. He's in very good shape, too, and very tall. And he's looking forward to a season now where two of the weeks he'll have double NFL games in 1 week. And so his travel, speaking of travel, starts now and goes all the way to February.
Wow. Wow. Well, the picture that I saw of the two of you, you look fantastic. You both look fantastic. And then what? So that's Nate and Al's Deli Restaurant. I was going to ask you, so you went right into that. What's Dan Tanna's?
Oh, Dan Tanna's is sort of on the other side of the village up on Santa Monica, and that is a famous old celebrity haunt also. Some of their menu items are named for the celebrities who hang around there, and it's a red sauce Italian joint going all the way back, and Johnny Carson used to pop in, and Jay Leno, and Dabney Coleman, and plenty of others. And if you go there now, like I do regularly, you'll see people almost all the time, well-known people who will pop in there. But it's a tiny little place, old-fashioned, old-school, and I'm sure if you looked at the pictures, it hasn't changed in decades. And neither has the crowd. Seriously, there are decades of regulars who are at that little bar every single day. And so and then, I find it fun because you always will meet somebody of intrigue when you're there.
Conference
sure.
recording stopped.
Oh, dear. I'm sorry about that. I don't know where she came from.
Sounds all right, though.
Doesn't she? Got a very
bring her back. Terrible man.
No, you're wonderful. You make me laugh. It's such a wonderful way to just wrap the
sweet.
Show. You called
Jim was on his way after our breakfast to go over to meet with Jim Harbaugh, who he says is one of the most strange NFL coaches you'll ever meet. And, of course, he's known him for years since he was the quarterback at Michigan and the Chicago Bears, and then he coached at the Niners and all that. He was going over to have meetings all day, and then they were going to watch last night's NFL game from Brazil at the beach there with Tracy Wolfson at Manhattan Beach. And Tracy Wolfson went to the University of Michigan, and she just dropped her daughter off there for college, and the Wolverines are playing
conference
as we speak right now against
started.
Texas.
She's back. Wow. You know,
yeah.
I'm so sorry about that interruption in our conversation. I
thought it was the Russians spying on us and recording everything that we say.
It must be. Who else would do that? You called it.
By
the
way, Hunter Biden was at Moonshadow the other night in Malibu.
Hunter?
Just a night after pleading guilty.
I know.
So if you, there's plenty of intrigue around here, as you know.
Yes, it's you know, the intrigue. So he's, you know, he hasn't been, okay. Well, that's so much going on in the world right now. So many families in disarray.
Oh,
dear.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, you called Beverly Hills. I think that's where Nate and Al's Deli is, right? And Dan Tana's
mm-hmm.
restaurant.
Yeah.
And you called it the Village.
That's what I call it because it's like a little village. The actual Rodeo Drive kind of area there, Beverly and South Beverly, is where all those shops are that you've seen in the movies.
Yeah.
And Pretty Woman and all the rest and all the little restaurants. And if you were to walk into Spago like I did the other night, actually that was last night now that I think of it, you'll probably see Wolfgang Puck, the celebrity chef. He
really?
Takes time to walk around through the dining room. And so that's sort of fun. And yesterday, I mean, it was it's hard to tell my own stories here, but I had breakfast with Jim Nantz at Nate and Al's.
Okay.
And then right around the corner, I had dinner with Claudette Robinson, who was the very first woman ever signed to the Motown record label.
Wow.
And married a guy called Smokey Robinson. And,
oh, yeah.
She's a royalty, music royalty. And we had a very nice dinner with photographer Linda Solomon right around the corner. So that's a pretty good day.
That's a great day. Now, how about that driverless Uber experience?
I'm still waiting to do it, and everybody's kind of afraid. But while we were sitting at the restaurant Il Pasteo right there, one of those cars pulled up. And we watched people get in, and I started clapping and applauding their courage. But these cars pull up, and there is no driver. And they have become very common to see around here.
How weird.
And that means no tip, I guess, so I like that.
Maybe.
I'm going to try it, though. I was on the waiting list, and I made it onto the actual list. So it's like an Uber. You just push the button, and it shows up, and off you go. And you've probably seen, too, you can order food like that here. Where it comes in a little R2-D2 robot that goes down the sidewalk and down the street, pulls up to your house or apartment, and gives you a text, and you go down and you take it out of the box. It looks like a little, like a tiny little robot shopping cart.
I've always heard from people who say that, you know, some places in California are just really, really strange.
I think that's fair.
Yes, yes. And imagine that person then seeing this little, you know, robot creature delivering food.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, they've mm-hmm. really lost their minds now. And they're getting into a driverless car.
mm-hmm.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's like the Jetsons or something, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, exactly. It is. We've come to that. Okay. So I had no idea there was a driverless Uber. But it hasn't come to Hawaii.
I think it would be a good place for it because you're limited, well, somewhat, depending on the island,
sure.
I guess. You know, it's a limited range.
Right.
Because these are electric, by the way. They're electric Jaguars.
Jaguars?
Yeah.
Jaguars? Their Uber is a Jaguar. You mean like the car? A Jaguar car?
Yeah.
Ho.
It's surprising, isn't it?
Ho. No, I definitely want to try this out.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Jaguar experience. Wow. I'm just going to change the subject completely because I really like what you wrote. And I hope you don't mind my sharing this with everybody.
Uh-oh. What did I write?
You wrote, "How about a worldwide pledge for a day of posts that unite us instead of divide us and scare us with agendas and rhetoric?" Did you write that?
Yeah, aren't you a little sick of the bile
Absolutely.
That's being spread around? And
yes, I love it. I love the idea of a worldwide pledge for at least a day.
Yeah, because the things that people put are so vile, and even if they're in a cartoon form, they're negative, and they get people all upset. And you see 8,000 comments on there. And I don't know what it all means, except that I know there are people that are then walking around angry and scared. And, you know, I don't want to get too political on this beautiful golf program in Hawaii, but, you know, maybe the world isn't going to end if one or the other one of these two are elected. Maybe we'll just survive somehow. I'd like to think so.
I'd like to think so, too. We've done it all these years, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's been
so,
going
you know,
on
I
for
don't know if it's the social media that provokes people to be negative or if they were always that negative and this is their chance to tell the world about it. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, that good questions. You know, I just really, I like it. You know, let's be positive. Can we be positive, please, to one another? You know, just because you don't like someone doesn't mean you have to advertise it. Just keep it to yourself. And just keep it to yourself.
Yeah. You know, I play par three golf every Monday for 9 holes over at Rancho Park with the
I
guy
didn't
who,
know.
He was on the Vanderpump Rules show, and we just play for dollars and $5 and whatever, and 9 holes of par three. And every once in a while, MPF here throws a club. Once in a while.
Do you
and,
really?
Then I, of course, I apologize. And Paul Cavallaro, he says, no, I like it when you throw clubs. I said, why? And he said, that means it's going well for me.
What a guy, what a friend, what a dude.
Yeah, there's a form of expression also. A helicopter club going down a part of the hole.
That means it's going well for me.
Yeah.
Oh, my. So where are you off to next? I know you've gotten all these invitations to be an extra. Are you traveling as much now, or do you hang out waiting for these invites?
Tuesday, I'm doing the talk show called The Talk in the audience. I had never done that one before. Yesterday, I was support for the Bill Maher show, Real Time, which is on HBO, and they shoot that over at CBS. I get some auditions now and again for different parts for movies and TV shows. My next travel is I'm going to stop in London for 2 nights to go to a restaurant that I love called La Familia in Chelsea.
Yes.
And I'm really supposed to be going to Italy, which I am, but Danielle, life is short, and I said, you know, if I can stop in London on the way and go to one of my favorite restaurants, why in the hell wouldn't I do that?
That's exactly
so
right.
So I'm going to. And I'm going to MC their 45th anniversary next year of La Familia. So we'll visit with the owners. And then I'm going down to Venice for a few days and then a big event in Emilia Romagna, where I'm going to visit the headquarters of Lamborghini and Ferrari and the manufacturing plant. And I'm really looking forward to. I'll see Bologna for the first time as well. And it's a big anniversary party for IC Bellagio, the premium travel company out of Italy. And they're going to have a special little gathering in a little village where they're going to tent over the actual square.
Wow.
And have the daughter, I'm not sure this is announced yet, but the daughter of Andrea Bocelli is going to be performing in that square that night at that party. So I don't want to miss that.
Invite yourself to the party. Can I right now?
Yes. But invite me to Hawaii. That's what I'd
well,
really
you
like.
Come on down. Anytime.
Come on down.
Yeah, you have
I was on what's that show? Let's Make a Deal the other day. They shoot that in the Meet the Price is Right studio. So I had to dress up in a costume and everything, and I played paper, scissors, rock against Wayne Brady for $500. It's true.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. Why would you tell
us? I can't tell you if I won or lost because, you know, I'm not supposed to tell the show before it airs.
No, yes. It's okay.
You'll see. You see a guy in a red outfit with a red hat and an ivy tie. That's me.
That's you.
Rock, paper, scissors against Wayne Brady.
There you go. See, and you know this guy. You know him from the show. He's Michael Patrick Shields. He is host. I don't know how he has got time to do a talk show in addition to everything else. He's author, he's a travel writer, host of Michigan's Big Show with Michael Patrick Shields, based in Hollywood, Beverly Hills. Not Hollywood, Beverly Hills. Thank you for being inside the clubhouse. And you must
Thank
call in.
Thank you for making me famous in the islands.
Oh, well, you've got to be famous. You're famous. Should we say infamous? No. You're famous, and you will call in when you're in England, right? When you're in the UK and when you're in Italy?
Yeah, it'll be a Saturday. I'll be in London, so that'll work perfectly.
Oh, fantastic. And I can just be envious the whole time.
Come on, talk to me from jolly old.
Yes, England. Yes, I spent a summer of 69. No, I didn't really. I'm way too young for that. I've got to close the show.
Oh, aloha. Gosh, okay. In my dreams, then.
Aloha. Thank you. All right, we've got to say thank you to the sponsors who make this show possible. And that would be Stretch Lab Hawaii, one-on-one assisted stretching sessions, just like the pros get, to improve your flexibility, your swing at Kahala Mall, Kailua, and Ward Center. Claude Brousseau, Master Teaching Professional at Wailea Golf Academy. The Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. And the Century starts off the PGA Tour's 2025 season at Kapalua's Plantation Course, January 2nd through the 5th. Aloha.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2024.